Call Me Bob, certainly not Ishmael. Moby Dick, the massive epic, holds a special place in the history of New Bedford. The one-time whaling mecca appears early in the book and was the city where Moby Dick author Herman Melville began his own whaling voyage in 1841. For the last two decades, lovers of Moby Dick have gathered in New Bedford for a journey of their own, a marathon reading of the novel. Reporting this morning from the South Coast, WBUR's Simone Rios has our story from the beginning to the tail end.
I'm standing on the Fairhaven side of the port of New Bedford, the very place where Herman Melville set out on his whaling voyage in 1841. In place of wooden tall ships of whaling days, today you see dozens upon dozens of fishing vessels, the workhorses of the nation's most lucrative fishing port. Melville was just 21 years old when he set out on the whale ship Acushnet. His 18-month voyage would inspire the tale of Ishmael, Captain Ahab, and the White Whale. And over the weekend, more than a century and a half later, hundreds gathered at the New Bedford Whaling Museum across the harbor to read Moby Dick.
Call me Ishmael.
The opening salvo in the mighty American novel, read by Nantucket author Nathaniel Philbrick. Hundreds turn the pages of Moby Dick, others swipe their tablets, as Philbrick narrates Ishmael's desire to set out to sea.
But look, here come more crowds, pacing straight for the water, and seemingly bound for a dive. Strange, nothing will content them, but the extremest limit of the land.
Over the next 25 hours, readers from all over America and beyond read 10-minute sections of Moby Dick. Some stay for the opening, others come at the end, and an elite few stay through the entire book. Philip Hoare reads sixth.
I have seldom seen such brawn in a man. His face was deeply brown and burnt, making his teeth white, dazzling by contrast.
Hoare himself writes prize-winning books about whales. He came from his home in Southampton, England, to participate in the reading in New Bedford.
And this is the place where Melville left from. So that in the hotel this morning, we're speaking to one of the fishermen on one of the draggers. And just like Melville, he'd come in, he can't get a boat till Monday morning. So he's just like Melville going to the Spouter Inn, you know. So it's the sense of history is just here. It's just implicit in the place.
And that history comes alive in the book. Hoare says it's almost like a Bible.
It has kind of a meaning for everything. You know, it speaks to ecological threat. It speaks to notions of man's evil and the kind of things that we've done to nature and do to other people. It speaks to the notions of slavery of Melville's time, but of course the slavery of our time.
The reading starts in front of a massive mock whale ship inside the museum. An array of harpoons and other artifacts line the wall as Ishmael's voyage begins. An hour and a half in, the Melvillian mob heads out of the whaling museum and across the street into the Seaman's Bethel. Melville visited this small temple during his stay in New Bedford. On the walls are tablets engraved with the names of sailors who left New Bedford never to return. Those very tablets appear in a section of Moby Dick titled The Whaleman's Chapel.
The chaplain had not yet arrived, and these silent islands of men and women sat steadfastly eyeing several marble tablets.
The Reverend David Lima plays the role of Father Mapple, standing at the pulpit shaped like a ship's bow.
Shipmen, join me in this hymn.
168 readers would recite Moby Dick, from Call Me Ishmael to the bitter wreckage of Ahab's ship. There were readings in Hebrew, Dutch, French, Spanish, Japanese, Mandarin, and a separate reading of an abridged Portuguese version.
I'm a marine biologist, and it's an amazing snapshot, and it's just a great reminder of how little we still know.
Casey Dunn of Providence was one of the few who made it start to finish.
There's little pieces of the book that stuck with me when I've read it before, and you don't have a sense of where these things are in the progress of the book afterwards. But to hear the whole thing end to end, it's really amazing. I have a very different sense of the book.
Now small fowls flew screaming over the yet yawning gulf. A sullen white surf beat against its steep sides, then all collapsed. And the great shroud of the sea rolled on as it rolled 5,000 years ago.
With that, Moby Dick rolls to its end. And here in the port of New Bedford, The same sea laps the shoreline and the fishing boats, just as it did 175 years ago. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios on the Port of New Bedford.